Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ask Alice Show. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, your host, Alice Badler, answers everyday questions with her unpredictable, interactive, spontaneous, and engaging style. You can easily ask your questions, share your thoughts, and join the conversation by calling into the show at Blog Talk Radio. Alice is waiting for you. From the smallest things to the deeply profound, the Ask Alice Show is the place to ask your questions and get real answers. Here's your host, Alice Badler.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome. As usual, I am so excited to have you all here with me. It is always a pleasure to interact with you. So for our callers, remember to press 1 on your phone to get into the queue to talk to me. I think you might want to speak up tonight, and you chatters as well. We have a pretty great show planned, and we will be having an enchanting guest coming in at 8:30 to join the conversation. So let's just get to it. A brief history of sex. A little provocative, yes? Well, back in the caveman days, people lived in tribes. Each tribe cohabitated together as families in large dwellings. Young men and women would mate and have children. But if any caveman asked another to have sex with his wife, so it was. No big deal. And by the way, I'm sorry to laugh, cavemen never needed to hit their wives over the head. The women were quite willing. Let's fast forward to the 16th century. It was around this time that marriages among the elite became more for convenience than for love. It was also at this time that the courtesan became a woman of status rather than one of ill repute. In fact, men were honored to be chosen by the most revered of these women. A courtesan and her lover would go out in public proudly, and no one batted an eye. Now we move on to the late 19th to early 20th centuries. Here in the United States, women and men waited until marriage to engage in sexual relationships. The rules seemed pretty clear. The man courted the woman, and she remained chaste. And not far after that, we entered into the 1970s, the age of Aquarius, love the one you're with. People were exploring their sexuality openly and without shame. And now, here we are at the beginning of the 21st century. The cultures of all other times before us seemed to have unspoken rules about the way things were. And now it all seems very muddled. Teens hang out in groups and sexually experiment with each other. Most married couples enjoy monogamy, while others have open relationships or engage in swinging. But the two latter have to hide their preferences. People are out there dating for a variety of reasons, from having casual sex to looking for the loves of their lives and everything in between. And that intoxicating feeling that comes with great sex. Those crazy chemicals messing with our brains. This is where singles have to be a bit careful. As for many, it blinds them from seeing their lover with clarity. Those hormones served us very well as cavemen. Back then, that is how couples chose each other. Life was all about survival and procreation. But we live in very different times now. I suppose in this day and age, where there are such diverse feelings regarding sexuality, we each have to come up with our own rules. As a single person, you can define what kind of sexual being you want to be. And do share that with your date. You want to make sure you're on the same page. And as a couple, together you decide what works best for the two of you. I like that. The idea of each of us choosing who we want to be in the world in any regard is a very powerful thing. But as in all things, we must choose with pure intention and never to harm another. That's what's on my mind. And now it's your turn. So feel free to ask a question or make a comment. We want to hear what you have to say. And tonight, producing, we have Andy Lyons back again. I'm kind of thinking we might have to keep her on for a bit if she doesn't mind. She's just like way too fabulous to let go. Hi, Andy. Love having you with me.
Hello, Alice. And hello, listeners. I want you to know I have my boa on tonight. I just felt it was so important to put my pink boa on since Alice is giving us this brief history of sex. So thank you, Alice, for having me for such a titillating conversation this evening.
Well, it is a bit titillating, isn't it?
It is. And we have quite the lineup in the chat room. We have folks listening in via phone. And I want to remind everyone that if you want to ask a question or share a comment or your point of view, Alice is here, ready to listen to you. So when you call in and to chat with you, please be sure to hit the number one so that we can put you in the queue to say hi to Alice.
Yes, I love hearing people's voices. Do say hi to Alice. Don't be shy. Everybody's so shy.
Well, and of course, sex is a taboo topic, although we're talking about it in a very special way. It's only you, Alice, can bring it to folks and make it feel comfortable and important. And we do have a comment in the chat room from Jessica saying, I blame lack of social skills being taught for our messed up ideas about sex and proper courtship manners.
Well, that's a very interesting comment. And, you know, I think what I find interesting about that is I'm not really sure what she means by social skills. I think it all has to do with the way we're brought up. And in different cultures and in different times, things were just much more understood. You know, nowadays, I know when we were growing up, some families, the parents didn't talk about it at all. Other families, women were taught to wait for that ring on their finger or maybe to even be shamed a little, you know, for enjoying that. And men too, by the way. This is not just about women feeling that way. So, you know, that's why it is such an interesting topic. And, you know, there's a lot of topics within this topic, by the way. It's not just about that. But I don't know, you know, I don't know that we can blame anything on society. I think that as we evolve as humans, and with all the technology and things are different, you know, and it's hard. I think it's harder because we're judged.
That's right. And I think Jessica's point about courtship manners, proper courtship manners are true. I think society has taught us things that have us acting, I think, improperly. And as a result, we miscue each other based on perhaps what we've seen in the movies, Alice? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that's a really good thing. Even on TV, it just shocks me some of these shows that are on primetime TV, like How I Met Your Mother. I don't know if anyone's ever watched that, but it's, you know, these five friends that like are sitting around trying to hit on people and one night stands every night. And I agree with both you and Jessica. I think courtship is a beautiful and unfortunately lost art. As a woman, I love to be courted, you know? So I think the movies and TV is just, you know, kind of skewed with our brains a little bit. We think that's how life is, and it's not. And even, if I may, since we're talking about sex, sexually, you know, the movies make it look like it's like this, you know, unbelievable stars in the sky every single time. So, you know, people are sort of disappointed when maybe it's only like that 9 out of 10 times. So I'm kidding.
Well, you're talking to someone who's been with her darling man for 30 years. So, you know, you've got to put a lot more into that after the blush of the bloom has worn off. But I have Michelle on the line. Alice, I have Michelle on the line who has a question for you. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Alice. Hello.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. I am going to ask my question or make my comment and then go back on mute to let you and Andy take it from there. So my comment relates back to what you were just saying and how I was raised within a very conservative household, and the expectation really was that I would not be sexually active until I was married. And so I was a big disappointment to my mother. I think when at the age of 17, I went to her and asked if she would take me to the doctor to get birth control pills. And so it sort of went from there. And I didn't really understand that there was something beyond just the physicality of the sexual relationship. And I had always heard that sex could be so much better if you were with someone that you really love. But I don't know that I even really ever understood that, even having been married for 18 years. And so my comment really is that I think as human beings, we evolve over time. And now in my mid-40s, I'm finally understanding for the first time what it's like to have a deeper, richer sexual experience with someone that I am madly and passionately in love with.
I love that. I love that you're having a mad, passionate love affair. Wonderful. But you know, you bring up a lot of interesting points. But I think something you said at the end there is very interesting. I have just found that women in general, I'm a woman and I talk to women, that it seems that when they hit about 40, that they sort of seem to come more into their sexuality. And I'm not sure if that's because they lose the feelings of shame. You know, they feel a lot more shame when they're younger. And maybe when we hit our 40s, we realize what is there to be ashamed about. But you know, I think I was brought up to, you know, wake that knight in shining armor before I engaged in sex. But the truth is that when we do look back in time, that, you know, especially in the caveman days, people only lived to like 25. They were sexual at 13. And the truth is that we do feel those stirrings at a very young age. We're still biologically cave people. I mean, nothing's changed except that we live longer and the rules have changed and we're brought up to be shamed. But I don't know. What do you think about that, Andy?
Well, and Michelle, such a great question. And thank you so much for sharing with this wonderful deepness that you had in your question. I think sex is a state of mind, not body. And I think that we see too much of the body aspect out in the world. And I think because men are turned on by what they see and women turned on by how they feel, you know, aroused, we sometimes, again, miss those cues, and where we really need to focus on turning on the brain. And I think what you were saying, Michelle, was that you had the freedom to really explore more fully because you accepted the side of yourself and you really love your darling man. So that's such a great combination.
That is
and
the best combination.
I haven't muted you yet, Michelle, just in case you want to add a little more.
Well, I think everything you're saying is absolutely true, especially after hitting 40. I think finally, at that age, I really learned how to love myself and how to accept myself, including the sexual part of me that was always sort of under this cloak of disapproval from my family of origin, and really finally was able to step into who I am and be really okay with that. And I think that has definitely enhanced what I experience in my relationship now.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think you know, I guess there's different periods of time, of things that men and women go through. You know, they go through maybe a period of time where they don't want to be in a relationship. And, you know, there's no judgment on whatever people are doing as long as they're honest with the people they're doing it. But I think all of us, men and women, really, when they can have a passionate sex life with someone they care deeply for, like, what could be better than that? I mean, really, what can be better than that? And I think as humans, we're meant to bond, and we all search for that combination. That's phenomenal.
That is so. I'm going
to. Is Michelle still with us? Or thank you, Michelle. Okay. Michelle is just, you know, one of those people who's very evolved. So I really appreciate your getting in here and sharing your wisdom with us. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. Have a good show.
Thanks.
So, you know, Michelle brought up a great, great point, and it's, you know, the evolution of how we start to feel about ourselves. And in the chat room, of course, there's a flurry of conversation happening. You know, Robin is sharing, I think courtship has gone out the window. I wish couples would get to know each other better before jumping in the sack.
Well, certainly couples who are looking for a true relationship. And that's why I was talking about those chemicals. It's known, I mean, it's scientifically proven that when you're sexually attracted to someone, that first spark, you know, when you meet them and it's all sexual, you know, there's all these hormones that are going on and it lasts for about 3 months. So during that 3 months, we're not really looking carefully at the person. And then that 3 months kind of wears off and you settle in a little bit, you settle down a little bit. And you look at each other and go, yikes. So, you know, that's where the whole courtship thing is kind of nice. If you take a little more time to get to know that you really like the person as a person, I think when you do get into bed, it's more profound. It has much deeper meaning. And, you know, again, we come back to that it just doesn't go that way. That's why I say it's all muddled. And I'm not saying all the time, you know, I'm single. I've been dating a while and I've had men that court me. I mean, they're lovely. I mean, they do. And other men, not so much. So, you know, it just it depends. That's why I think people have to get on the same page. You know, what is it you're looking for? But very good point.
And Tom says sex today is much more immediate and exploitive due to today's technologies. And wow, that's a really good point, Alice, about how you can get online and just about do anything.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, look at Ashley Madison that just got busted. There's a dating website for people, exclusively for people who want to cheat. And I do think that there's the bad and good of technology. Not Ashley Madison, of course. But, you know, the good is that we have an opportunity as single people to meet other single people that we would have no other way of meeting. But the downside to that is there's just so many of them. And yes, everything is so immediate. And it's like now. I mean, that's, and I don't even think with online, I think just in general as people, we have smartphones, we have computers. I mean, it's just everything is now. I mean, I remember the day when you had to wait till you got home and pick up the frickin' phone. Nobody could get a hold of you while you were out. I mean, even when I was a little girl, there wasn't even answering machines. So, yeah, I mean, we live in such a now society, and I think that does affect a lot of people sexually because they expect that as well. You know?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And it's very distracting, which, again, how do you keep sex on the brain, it being the largest of our wonderful organs, important. But, you know, I love what Eli says. And he says, a lot of people think of sex as an act. I see it as a conversation. It's possibly the most intimate form of communication there is. Oh, who says men aren't romantic? Woo!
Well, that just kind of did a little flip-flop in my heart. I think that Eli, I think you need to like write that as a quote. I want to see that on Facebook tomorrow. That is such a beautiful way of looking at things. And, you know, we don't anymore. I just love that. But we can. I mean, kind of the point of my monologue was we can choose. You know, I mean, there are people out there. And again, I don't want to judge anybody who aren't looking for that. But those of us who really are, we get to make that choice. If a man or a woman wants to be courted and wants to take time, guess what? We get to do that. We get to choose. And that's the good thing, is that even though we're in this muddled place and everything's immediate, I still say that you got to stick to whatever, you know, whatever you feel aligned with, whatever gives you power. And gosh, I love that, Eli. And
really,
that's the man that, Eli's the man that wrote my beautiful music. You see, it's these musicians, these artists have such beautiful hearts. I love you, Eli.
Well, I just love the word intimate, you know, into me, you see intimacy. And I think it does require intimacy when you get that close to somebody physically. And I think that's why it's so important that long-term relationships and marriages make sure they continue the intimacy of the physical side of their relationship, as well as the every day-to-day aspect of their relationship. What do you think, Alice?
Well, I think that that is such an important thing, and it's unfortunate that, you know, people don't see that in marriages. I mean, I know a lot of married people, I'm sure you do too, Andy, and they don't make the time for that. And that is such an important part of a relationship. That, to me, I think that's, I hate to say it, but once you're married for a long time, that's like 80% to me. If you don't have that, you lose the other stuff. There's resentment, there's anger. You've got to find the time. I love that you brought that up.
Well, I think you have to keep dating your partner. And for however long you're with them, it's so easy to get caught up and become, you know, professional partners, meaning you work side by side, keep the house running, the kids moving forward, your lives moving forward. But you forget that there's that other side that needs to be courted forever. But
like, yeah, you know, and you had brought something up earlier. You said, you know, that the biggest sex organ is the mind. And, you know, that's sort of in keeping with your saying. It's not just women. You know, we talk about how men, you know, rush it. And it's not just women. It's women and men. Foreplay is not sexual. Foreplay is the act of flirting and playing with each other during the day, have date nights, you know, make out on the couch. To me, that is foreplay. Everything else is sex. You know, I don't distinguish in the bedroom between foreplay and sex. It's all sex. So I agree with you. I think we have to maybe, you know, put things in place, even if we have to, you know, I don't know. You know, your man walks in, you give him a beautiful makeout kiss, and he flirts with you over dinner, whatever it takes. You have to remember why you fell in love in the first place, don't you think, Andy?
Absolutely, and the exchange needs to continue. I think the way you said it, and I'm sure the audience all agreed, the way you said it was, whew, we all are going to need a cigarette after that one, Alice. It was delicious.
Oh my!
The neighbors. I know, it was lovely. No, it was lovely.
Yeah,
it's so important.
Yeah, but you, Andy, you know, you've been married a long time, and those of you that aren't, you know, aware of it, Andy and I are like best friends, and I know that Andy and her darling husband, they do have date nights. They do, you know. I'll be talking her on the phone. She goes, "Oops, gotta go." Hubby and I are going to have a margarita on the porch, and. You know,
it doesn't have to be a high budget. You know, go out and get your party clothes on and dolled up. It can be very nice, intimate, and in your home, especially parents with younger children. Mommy and daddy have to take a time out.
That's right.
If, it's trying to squeeze it in. But I, you know, I love what you brought up in your monologue about a brief history of sex, about how far we've come. But you have to also remember that we have the brains still of our cavewoman and cavemen, and sometimes we fall on either side of a wall. And it doesn't help us connect.
Well, and that's kind of the big problem. And look, there's something we all know. Men are very visual. And that is biological. They can't help it, and women shouldn't get mad at them. But they're very visual. They're biologically much more sexual biologically than women. And that's, again, because maybe if they weren't, you know, there wouldn't be that many of us on the earth. it was up to women to chase the men that way. But as we've evolved, I mean, women are more sexual, obviously, but it is hard to connect because there's so many that you know, want just to explore their sexuality, and others that want the intimacy in the relationship. And all of it's okay. It's just people don't talk. They don't communicate. I see that a lot in the single world. You know, women are so afraid on a first date to say to a man, you know what, I want to take things slowly, you know, because I had a woman say to me, well, what if I scare him away? And I said, good. Yay. You didn't want him anyway. If he says, no, I want first sex on the first or second date, and you know, good. That's how you weed them out. So we have to communicate, and men as well. I went on a date with a man once. Well, actually, more than once this has happened to me. We're right on the date, in the middle of the date, he pronounced that if we did not have sex that night, there would be no second date.
Get out.
No, that actually happened to me twice. And actually, to both of them, I said the same thing. I said, one, you probably should have told me before you took me out to dinner. And my second thought is, maybe you should keep that to yourself till the end of the date, because there are women that will go there, but the second you say that to a woman, you just blew it. I said, there are women that'll, you know, easily do that and not want you to say it. That ruined my date.
Wow.
And I said, why couldn't you have waited till the end? I was in the middle of having a steak, for goodness sake. Ruined my whole meal.
In our chat room, Alice, Deborah says, yes, never stop dating your partner. Who doesn't love dating and flirting? It keeps the romance alive. And Laura followed up with a wonderful memory. I remember my dad bringing home a new song from the radio and dancing with my mom in the living room. Aww.
You know what? That's one of my favorite things to do with when I'm in a relationship. Is a man that will dance with me alone in the house. To me, nothing sexier. I'm getting chills. Andy, you get to get off the phone and go dancing with your gorgeous husband. I've got to dance with my teddy bear. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm a happy girl.
Well, yeah, this is such an important topic. I love that you brought this up, Alice. We have a lot of folks in listening mode only tonight, and on the phone. I just want to remind them, if they hit the number one, they can come into the queue to ask questions, and you know, we'd love to hear what you have to say. And of course, the chat room continues to provide wonderful, delicious conversation for us tonight, Alice, with, you know, folks exploring, you know, what the different paradigms within which they have been raised and indoctrinated and culturalized on how to view relationships and sex, and how sometimes sex can skew it.
I want to remind our listeners, I understand why it's harder for people to call in, but you don't have to use your real name. You know, I think as we're live on the air, it's a little scary for people. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, you could be anonymous. We don't have to use names. And it's, I think it's fun. Jump in. We're having a fun talk. We always have fun talks. But
yes,
this is a very important topic. It's a very important topic.
And fortunately, tonight, Well, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour, Alice. 8:30, and you know what that means. It's time for the special guest segment of the Ask Alice Show.
Well, I am very excited, Andy. Tell us, who is our special guest tonight?
Well, she's perfect timing given the topic, and let me share with you a little about our guest. Sheila Pearl was married for 32 years to the love of her life, but the last 10 years of her marriage, she became her beloved husband's caregiver while he struggled with dementia. And her once passionate marriage became sexless, and her once juicy sensuality became dormant. And in her mid-50s, she had become overstressed, overweight, and undersexed. And as a new widow in her mid-60s, Sheila was determined to re-engage with her sensuality, which she had never known in her younger years. Her new book, Ageless and Sexy, The Magic of Sensuality, is an invitation to women and men to go for it at any age. To take action on discovering new levels of vitality and passion, reawakening dormant sexuality. So audience, I just want to invite all of you to please join us in welcoming Sheila Pearl to the Ask Alice Show. And feel free to call in with your questions to Alice and Sheila.
Hello, Sheila. Are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. It is such a joy to have you join us. Thank you so much. Have you been listening in?
I've been listening since you began tonight. It's just a fabulous evening of conversation about ideas about our very basic vitality. I call it our life force, our creativity is what our sexuality is all about. So I'm so excited to be in this conversation with you guys.
Well, we're very excited to have you because I know you have a lot to say on this subject. And I do want to let our listeners know that, you know, in the chat room, on the phone, you know, please comment questions for Sheila or I, or even Andy, since she's so delicious too. you know, don't be shy, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic, Sheila.
Well, let's see, where would you like me to jump in? I mean, part of what I'm hearing is, you know, we go through different stages in our own lives in terms of our sexuality, our sensuality, in our relationships. Like when we first fall in love, we have that rush of the hormones and that coming together with the fireworks and passion. And what I discovered in my life is that after I was married to the love of my life, the passion part would ebb and flow because we were in the throes of domesticity and career building and raising a family and then gripped by illness later on. And so by the time I got to a stage of life where I thought it was over, I thought that after menopause, I thought that after 50, much less 60, that I shouldn't expect myself to be a sexual, actively sexual being. And yet I had the urges, I had the impulse, I had the desire to reawaken that. And so I have discovered, and I began this discovery in my mid-60s, and now I'm almost 74, so I'm getting close to the mid-70s, that our juiciness as human beings, as women, doesn't have an expiration date. And in fact, I've noticed in myself and other people I know, I talk to all the time, that our capacity for being more interested in sex, more playful, more delicious in every way, actually increases as we grow older, bolder, and wiser. Maybe because we've been so disappointed or became dormant in earlier years or flatlined in many different ways. And so as we grow older, we relish and we hold precious those moments of passionate engagement, which I call the ultimate eros.
You know, okay, we're all revealing a lot about ourselves on this live show. But, you know, it I find very interesting is that so many women are terrified of menopause. They think that once they go through that, that they're going to lose their desire. And I have found for myself and some of my friends that it actually increased it for me. And I don't know if that's because the fear of getting pregnant at 50 was so terrifying. But I've also noticed another interesting dynamic, that I have friends who after menopause say they're not in the mood anymore. And I wonder if maybe they were never all that sexual. So going through menopause gave them an out. Because nothing changed, you know, in physically.
Right, right.
Physically, nothing changes.
Well, there was a time that I felt like having sex was a job. Like, I have to fulfill my obligation. But I've been growing. I've been learning. And I've gotten past that barrier where it wasn't about a job. It was about having a feast. And now I'm enjoying the idea of feasting, of having the pleasure of my own body and the engagement with a beloved other and experiencing that coming together. And it has nothing to do with a marriage contract. It has nothing to do with having children. Maybe that's what menopause liberates us from.
You jump in, Andy. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think you're made to feel afraid of menopause, especially when the body starts acting a little strange. But I have to tell you, unexpected is what happens. Certain things don't function the way they used to. But again, that's when you've got to bring in the brain and use your smarts to make it interesting in many other ways. But Jessica in the chat room, Sheila and Alice says, I hope to be an 80-year-old woman going after the men in the nursing home and breaking hips, trying the Kama Sutra.
You know what?
Good for her.
I bet she will, right? I bet you she will then. I love Jessica. She is a panic, that one. She comes up. You know, Andy, that's funny what you said, because I guess physically we different women, I mean, you know, we're not all the same, go through different things. I mean, I certainly believe that, you know, we were talking about earlier, when you maybe get into your 40s, maybe some women in their 30s, and men, we keep leaving men out, but I think the same with men, that as we become more comfortable with ourselves as human beings is, you know, when we can be a little more playful in the bedroom. But it was interesting what you brought up about menopause, because from a physical standpoint, and I mean, you know, that nothing happened, you know, I don't feel physically, I'm not talking about sexually, physically, any different after menopause than I did before. I feel like a 30-year-old little chicky.
So, Alice, I'll say there are times I feel I'm 18. There are times I feel like I'm 22, 36. You know, in other words, ageless, really. Truly, at the age of 73, going on 33, I just feel excited about my own capacity for multiple orgasms, for instance, for ultimate pleasuring, and to continue to discover my own pleasure anatomy. And by the way, that's something that's ongoing, and I'm discovering, my goodness, I have the ability to feel pleasure that I never knew was there, and to be able to continue to explore myself just physically is a great delight, and not to feel embarrassed or to feel ashamed even talking about it on radio.
I know. I'm curious, Sheila. I'm curious, do you think that a lot of that is in your mind, is that you can create that we, you know, we as women, I believe, you know, for me, that I can turn, this is going to come out wrong, I can turn myself on, but I don't mean it the way it sounds.
Yes.
I can with my brain get turned on. I mean, I don't, you know, and then the physical part follows. What do you think about all that, Sheila?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'll give you an example. I've been very busy these days, and I haven't seen a special man who's been in my life almost 10 years. And he's been like the catalyst. He's been like the igniter of my passionate, erotic self. And I just think of him, and my whole body tingles. I literally feel a pulsing in what I call my sensorum, you know, that genitalia area. And it's just with a thought. And with that thought, I'm thinking of him, and he texted me, "Miss me?"
He texted you?
He texted me, "Miss me?" And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do."
I love it. So he said, "Miss me." I wasn't sure what you said, Sheila. And he texted
yeah,
saying,
miss
me. And you're like, as
yeah,
a matter of fact,
yeah, miss me.
I do.
I do. And he said, "Just want you to know, I'm thinking of you, babe, and I'm hard."
Oh, my.
No.
I think we just changed the whole nature of this show. It's not, we
but it's about it's all in the mind because you know,
that's right.
He was 50 miles away. He wasn't even nearby, right? And it's just with a thought. It's all energy, and it's between the 6 inches between my ears. It's in my mind. It's in my brain.
Well, it is. I have to agree with Sheila. I don't know that I'd be so. I have to give you so many kudos for your courage. I'm not sure on this particular kind of show I would have the nerve to kind of quite say it that way. But you know, it is our minds, and it's really cool.
And
you know,
well, and I think what she was saying too, Alice, is the whole flirting. You know, nowadays you flirt on via texting, you flirt via phone, yeah, Skype, et cetera, and that's part of keeping things exciting. And I want to bring up a couple of comments from Eli, our romantic musician in the chat room tonight. And he first says, "I'm in my early 40s, and I can honestly say sex is so much better than it was when I was in my 20s, although it helps to be in a loving relationship. And yes, we still have date night." And he follows up on that, Sheila, with the, "There's also less sense of pressure to perform, I think. It's much easier to relax and go with the flow when you're more comfortable in your own skin and with each other."
Wow.
That's it.
Yes.
That's the magic of it. But just imagine what's possible if we could just relax into our own skin and just go with the flow, with the energy that we're feeling, and enjoy one another without all the monkey mind stuff that goes on in our head getting in the way. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be wonderful. I always wonder why some people, and I guess I don't wonder, I think a lot of it is upbringing, and they haven't quite gotten past that they're so uncomfortable in their own skin. They're so uncomfortable, even in love, you know, being intimate, you know, lights out, all that sort of thing. And, you know, these are such great points. It's really wonderful when you can feel that comfortable with yourself and you can give that intimate love to your partner. It's just making my heart sore how many people are in these amazing relationships. Yay, Eli.
And I think, and Sheila, I think you give everybody who is, you know, in their 40s and aging, incredible hope that things can continue this way until our last breath. I think that's what you're saying, is that it's
that's
age
exactly
versus ability.
Exactly. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who just had her 60th birthday, and she looked at me knowing that I've just come out with this new book and she hasn't even started to read it yet. And she looked at me and she said, so how long do you think I can look forward to having an orgasm?" And I started to laugh, and I said, "Until your last breath." she said, "Really? You mean I can really have an orgasm when I'm, you know, a lot older?" I said, "Yeah. Why do you think we have an epidemic in the nursing homes?"
Oh my gosh!
I mean, sex is alive and well among people in their 80s and 90s.
It absolutely is.
And people want to feel alive. That's what it's all about. We want to feel alive, and having that wonderful energetic physical touching, that connection is what gives the feeling of that connection of being alive. It's very sweet. It's quite beautiful. And it is a conversation. I love that. I got to write that down. Sex is a conversation. Yes.
That is. I think, Eli, really, you need to put that on your Facebook so we can all write that down. That needs to go on my quote wall. I love that so much. And
we have Shelley in the chat room who says she agrees with Sheila. It is in your brain. Intimacy used to be such a struggle for me. Coming from a background with violence, I equated sex to power then. And once I dealt with that, I opened to real connection.
Mm. Well, and Shelley makes a point that I talk about often, like on almost every show, this has to come up. So, of course, it had to come up. That, you know, we all have wounds, and our wounds stop us. And I think, you know, that's what happened with Shelley, and she found her way out of that wound to be able to have this fabulous sex life, because most people that have had some, you know, sexual violence have a very hard time. And you really have to work on that. Good for you, Shelley.
Well, and Deborah Oakland says you can't see all the good stuff when the lights are out, because I'm sure some people say they need to have the lights out.
Yeah, did I say that earlier? What's that about? Did I just say that on the air? Oh, I'm in trouble. I'm going to be getting a lot of private messages on Facebook tomorrow. Now, Sheila, am I correct when I say that your fabulous beau is much younger than you? Don't you have a younger man in your life?
Yes, he's 13 years my junior. Yes.
Mm, sexy lady.
Mm.
I love that. And you've been together 10 years. 10 years?
10 years. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's really a... it's an erotic playmate lover kind of relationship. It's not a boyfriend. We're not domestic partners. It's not that kind of thing. And I really chose to create that because I wanted to feel that I was kind of having this wonderful, playful, sexual experience in a bubble. I didn't want to have domesticity get in the way, at least that early on in our relationship. And I kind of knew that he would not be a good long-term life partner for me. And quite frankly, I'm transitioning away from that relationship into something that I'm ready to look for, actually. I think we could call that the last love of my life. So, I'm kind of ready to allow myself to meet a partner who can be a loving partner in a physical way, but also be a domestic partner and life partner as well. So I have different needs now than I did when I was a new widow.
Well, I think that's kind of what I was saying earlier about, you know, single people anyway are out there, you know, for a variety of reasons, and they need to be out there for whatever reason they're out there. It's, you know, you needed that. Look at where it brought you to and turned you into this delicious goddess who
exactly.
wrote this amazing book and got you ready, you know, for the last
exactly.
love.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. I realized when my husband passed, you know, I was 63 years old and I had never lived alone.
Mm.
So, you know, I'd gone from home to college and college roommates to New York City and roommates to my marriage. And so I had the past 10 years to really explore myself. And now I'm ready to receive another kind of partnership. But I needed that time. And so it's all been perfect. It's been wonderful to explore myself in another package.
Mm. And you have so much more to give this lucky man that gets you, you know, because you've healed, you've grown, you've explored all kinds of things about yourself. I'm sure it's much more than your sexuality that you've grown in.
Absolutely. I mean, my entire consciousness has been expanding. Everything about me, my ideas, my philosophy, my spirituality, all of that's been expanding because I've been doing that in a different kind of conversation, a different kind of relationship. So that's part of what my book is about as well. And it's engaging in self-love in a whole new dimension.
Well, I think that's what growth is about. You know, it's about all those things, not just one area that makes us better and better and better. And I think even that's sexy, you know, when it's not just sex that makes us sexy, you know, it's being confident, growth.
I feel I need to really make this point that we're sexy and sexual with or without a partner.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to think I couldn't be sexy or sexual unless I had a partner. So I was, you know, feverishly looking for the next partner every single time I was without a partner. This is before I was married. And then it occurred to me, no, I need to experience being sexual and sexy without a partner as well.
Mm.
So that's part of my adventure.
No, I think that is important. I think all people should feel sexy. You don't need a partner to feel sexy about yourself, you know? Why not?
Well, Alice, you're the perfect example of that.
Well,
you're very confident, and you're very confident about your sensuality and who you are and in your ability to take on life and embrace it and love it. That's a very sexy thing. You know, confidence is very sexy.
Well, I've worked a lot to get here, to find peace and happiness with my life, you know. And I'm with Sheila. I would love to find my last love. But the truth is that, you know, while I'm looking for that or whatever, I do feel confident. I do feel beautiful. I do feel sexy. I do feel young. I do feel happy and at peace. You know, our life should be passionate. We should be passionate about life in itself, and then we can bring that into a relationship. I'll tell you, I think any man that gets me is lucky.
you know, the most beautiful part of what you're saying, Alice, he's definitely 10 times luckier than he would be with a woman who doesn't have this self-confidence, and I'll tell you why. He's not going to have to worry about you looking to him to be everything.
Mm-hmm.
In other
That's
words, when you can enter into a relationship where the responsibility for happiness is not on the other person, how liberating is that?
So, well, shouldn't be on the other person. It really shouldn't. I mean, we should be adding to each other's lives, not making each other's lives. You know?
Exactly. That's the big difference. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've discovered. I'm not looking to someone to complete me as much as I'm looking for someone with whom I can complete my sharing, right? It's different.
It's very different.
I really want to share everything I am because I really enjoy myself, and I want to enjoy the other person as well. But I'm not looking to find a partner who's going to validate me so I can feel better about me. It's not even remotely close to that.
Well, I think that's why what I call the inner work is so important, which also comes up in every show. I mean, just everything is about that. Everything in life is about working on ourselves. It's all about us being better and better. And, you know, I mean, even when I think, you know, I've gotten a lot, I see something else, and it's actually great, you know, the mistakes I've made and, you know, the unfortunate things I've done, because it just shows me where I need the work. And that's how I got here. That's how I got here, where I am at this moment in time. And you too, Sheila, and you too, Andy, you know?
Absolutely. And I want to just bring you a wonderful train of thought that's going on in the chat room, Sheila and Alice, which is, Jessica began it with saying, I always worry about age differences. I worry that people will be at two different places in life and lose a connection. And Deborah responded by saying, I met my husband when he was 21 and I was 32, and we've been married 30 years. Just as in love as when we met. In fact, he's cooking me dinner right now. He's so sexy, I still tingle when I think of him.
Ah, oh, so much love going on this.
That's the best.
Mm-hmm. And I think it depends on what Jessica's talking about, too. I mean, a 10, 13-year difference either way, I don't see it as such a big deal. You know, I would, you know, I mean, even we see 25-year-olds with 50-something-year-olds. And I don't think I would worry so much about that. But, you know, when the 50-year-old is 80, the 25-year-old is still going to be young, you know. So I'd be more concerned for me personally about that. I don't want to be aged out. but I have no desire, quite frankly, I have no desire to date a man 20 years younger than me. It doesn't appeal to me even a little bit. I'm kind of liking men my own age now. I used to date younger men, and now I sort of think men in their 60s are pretty hot, 50s and 60s. Like you got, Sheila.
Yeah, he's about to turn 61 as I'm about to turn 74. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I do need a man in my 40s. So when I'm in my 70s, right? There we go.
Well, I want to say one thing that what you, Alice, and Sheila are doing by pulling back the veil on this very taboo topic, you're enlightening and you're bringing a wonderful exposure and spotlight to the conversation and using those very physical and graphic terms, but in a way that honors them and takes the nasty out of it and just keeps it a little naughty. And I think it helps everybody. Those who are listening now and during the replay will have a more open and honest understanding of their own sexuality. So I applaud you both. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
And it was because of Sheila's bravery that you got a little too much out of me. A little too much, but it's okay.
I wasn't sure what the boundary was, but I just kind of intuitively went there. Sorry if I stepped over the line.
No. I think you were great. I get going, and you know, I'm the one that's got to keep doing this every week, Sheila.
You get
to do your book signing with your sexy book, and I've got to now next week do a show that's way more boring than this one.
Hardly, with you as the host, Alice. Hardly. It was boring.
Well, let's say different.
Sheila, in the chat room, they continue to talk about the fact that confidence is the sexiest thing around, and our sexy musician continues to chime in, and he says, I find that if someone has a real passion about doing something they love, they can be a very sexy thing. I'm a sucker for confidence and talent.
I couldn't
agree more. In fact, I would say one of the sexiest things about my lover for the past 10 years is his passion for music. He'll find a record of or a CD of something that he's so excited about, and he runs up the steps. Babe, you got to hear this. You know, the linear lines and the harmonies and the melodies, it goes off. And I absolutely adore his passion for what he's excited about. I find that so sexy. And so I think that's an important feature of our sexiness. And you can have that until you drop.
Yeah. But you know,
it reminds me of the movie City Slickers when he had to go off and find his smile. I mean, what she was really saying is, please, I need your passion back for life, you know? And I think that goes back to what you said, Alice, which is doing that inner work so that we do feel passionate for our lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an inside job. It is. There's no other way. There's no other way but to do whatever you need to do to feel good inside about who you are. And, you know, I think people, we'll get on a whole new topic, we'll do this another time, but people judge themselves and they feel shame. And so they can't go there. They can't go to the wounds. They can't go to the inner work because they judge themselves too much. And if you could look at that without judgment and without beating yourself up, then you can do the inner work. And then you can, you know, and you can feel great about yourself. And I think it also takes a very confident person to appreciate that in another. You know, what does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I know I can see the clock. We're running out of time.
Yes.
And I wanted to mention one thing that's really important for me to just mention in terms of this conversation of sex being in the conversation. I'm a bit of a mystic. In fact, I'm a lot of a mystic. And the mystical notion that I have about my sexuality and my sense of passion and eros is that when I'm with my beloved and I'm in that what I call the mind-body-spirit connection that it shows up as a sexual union, I feel that I've reached inside to see the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because this sense of divinity and this what I call the divine flow of energy, that when you're really together, in sync with one another, in that physical, emotional, spiritual connection, there is nothing more exciting and ecstatic than that sense of seeing the face of God.
Oh, wow.
Powerful.
So, Sheila, my bar was already set high for the man that was going to ever get me, but boy, did you just raise it to almost the impossible. How dare you? No, that was beautiful. What a beautiful way to wrap up. That was beautiful, Sheila. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Andy, maybe you could tell our listeners where they can find the beautiful Sheila.
Oh, Sheila is everywhere, right, Sheila? I think
right.
Sheila needs to say to everybody where she
yeah,
is.
Where
I,
are you,
you know,
Sheila? Are you on Twitter, Facebook? You have a website?
I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, but you can go to my website and get all that with those connections. Just go to SheilaPearl.com.
Okay.
It's very easy.
And really, your Facebook page is so beautiful and your profile page as well. You bring so much love to the world. I encourage everybody to please follow Sheila wherever she glows, because clearly she's ageless and sexy and glowing. And that's Sheila Pearl, everybody. S-H-E-I-L-A. PEARL.com.
Right.
And then you can see that. Because I was going to say on Twitter, I follow you everywhere. And I think on Twitter, you've got your middle name in there.
It's my maiden name as well. So Sheila Aiken, A-K-I-N, Pearl. It's all together. Yep.
Right. It's easy to follow you on the website. You have all your links in there. And speaking of following my wonderful listeners here on the Ask Alice Show, a great way to stay tuned into the show and the wonderful topics that Alice brings to you every week is to follow her here at Blog Talk Radio. And to do that, you go to blogtalkradio.com/AskAliceShow, okay? And you will see a follow button right there. Click on that follow button, and you'll be able to get all the updates for Alice's show. Now, they may ask you to, quote, log in to Blog Talk Radio, and you can easily do that with your Facebook account or your Twitter account. But you do want to follow her, because this way you're going to get an email news alert every time she goes live. And I know there's so many people who go, oh, she's on, got to go, bye. And boom, they come over to the chat room, they come over to the phone. So that's it for tonight on the producer's end, Miss Alice.
Well, then I think it's time to wrap it up. And the first thing, I would like to thank you so much, Goddess Sheila, for joining
us. Thank you.
and gracing us with you are beautiful. I'm so excited that you came on. Really, I am. And
thank you.
With that, I'm going to say I think we had a great show. I don't know about anyone listening, but boy, did I have fun. So I want to thank all of you listening in and all of you who participated. I do appreciate each and every one of you. And I look forward to seeing you again all next week. And until then, let's all make great choices with a pure heart in all things and feel the power in who we are.
Thank you for tuning in to another lively conversation on the Ask Alice Show. Alice loves to connect with her listeners, so please join the Ask Alice Show Facebook group where you can keep the conversation going and post questions for future shows. And be sure to stay tuned in to the show by clicking the follow button right here on Blog Talk Radio and by subscribing to the Ask Alice Show YouTube channel. If you have a high-quality product or service you'd like to advertise with the Ask Alice Show audience, please email Alice's assistant, Rachel, at info@askaliceshow.com. Until next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, keep asking those questions.
Are we still on?